On today's episode, I have with us Jerry Webb. He is a local businessman. He's retired, but he for the last 20 or 30 years, he ran a furniture store as well as a mini self-storage business. He's an overall good guy, and he's also my dad. So I enjoyed getting to talk with him today as well as hear some stories. Hope you guys enjoyed as well. Thanks. I've got here with me Jerry Webb. He's owned a couple businesses in Bowling Green, Kentucky, a furniture store called P&J Furniture, as well as a mini storage business called ABC Self Storage. I asked him today to just talk about his how he started those businesses, how he grew those businesses, and the decisions to switch from the furniture store to maybe the mini storage. He also was able to sell that mini storage business. And I know a lot of people are interested in how do you sell something and kind of the process of getting out of something. So I think he's going to start with I'll ask you, how do you want to start today?
I'll start as a youth and then work up, if that's okay.
Sure. That sounds good. So talk about, I know you grew up in Auburn, Kentucky.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
So it was a great place to grow up in. I started out delivering the Courier Journal in the mornings before daylight. I picked strawberries. I did a lot of mowed yards, painted houses, did a lot of things to make a little bit extra money. When I was a senior, a couple of my friends were going to Florida for a few weeks. And so I painted the school inside along with the janitor to make a little bit extra money to go on that trip. When I first started work, I was working for Potter Broomfield in Franklin, and I was with them about 5.5 years.
What did Potter and Broomfield, what did they do?
They made electric relays.
And what is that?
Well, at the time, we were selling NCR hundreds of thousands, and also we were selling pinball companies. It was a bigger relay that made the lights flash and all that on a pinball machine. And I worked as one of the final inspectors. And I did that for 3.5 years, and then I was a setup man in a coil department, and that was the way I started. And then I went to work for Cousin Jack, and we only had one store then. And I worked for them for 13 years. And
what is Cousin Jack's, for those who may not know?
Cousin Jack's was a discount company. And when I left them, we had four. And I was the supervisor over the four. And ran the Bowling Green store. It was a lot of hard hours, a lot of hard work. But as I look back, I learned a lot, too. I went from there. I just decided I really was putting in too many hours. Some weeks, some days, I had 80 hours in. And I went 3 years without a day off. And we was open on Saturdays too.
And when you say it's a discount company, you mean like, is it like a company that sold things similar to like a Dollar General or a Walmart or something different, like a hardware store?
It was smaller than Walmart, bigger than Dollar General, and very similar. We sold anything from fishing lures, hardware, to shirts and dresses and things like that.
Okay.
We bought mostly closeouts, you know, and then turn around and sold them.
Like if some other company was kind of closing their doors, you guys would buy it and then make it?
Actually, we went to the factories and bought. Most factories, if there were, you know, got maybe 100 to 200 people working, and it's at 2 o'clock and they close at 4, they don't change their makes over during that time. Wicks Lumber, again, I was an outside salesman, and I enjoyed that job. There was pressure like there was in the discount store, lots of pressure.
You were outside sales, meaning where were you going? You were having to go out and try to sell lumber?
I had to make contacts with these the owners of the building a house or a bank or whatever, And then I would go and try to work with them and sell them lumber and building supplies. So, and I made a commission off of it. And the reason I quit that was that we had a supervisor come in, and he wanted me to go to Lexington. I had just married, and my wife was from Canada. And I was spending a lot of time then at work, and I just felt like I didn't need to be moving to Tennessee, and so that's how come I left.
How long were you at Wicks?
I was Wicks for 13 years.
So, okay, and you were with Cousin Jack's before that, you said 4 years?
13 years.
13 years Cousin Jack's, 13 years at Wicks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
I tried to improve myself every time I moved up. And the supervisor came in, and he wanted me to go to run another store at another place. And at that time, the store in Bowling Green was going to be closed, and we were going to be moving out close to Lowe's. And I knew that we couldn't really compete because they had an idea of an end cap, 50 cases of caulk. That wasn't my idea of an end cap. It just, how many people would want to buy the caulk? So I decided then that I would go work for myself. That supervisor, when he came in too.
What year was this?
Gosh, I don't know. I honestly don't know. But when he came in, he told me, he was telling everybody how much retirement they had. And I'd been there for a long time, and my retirement was going to be about $150.
A week, so, a month?
A month.
$150 a month.
And I just felt like, real quick, that probably wouldn't buy me much gas or bread when I retired. And so I said, okay, I'm through. So I went to work for myself.
And that was, so you were at, that was probably because you had two kids at that time, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, it was in the 90s, right? It was probably right. Early 90s.
I talked over with my wife about going to work for myself. And I knew that going to work for yourself, you have to put a lot of hours in. And she was okay with that. And I started P&J. And the P was Paula and the J was me. And we did pretty well on that.
It grew every year. Right?
That was a store. And we specialized in baby stuff mostly. But everything just about was new. We had all new stuff. And that was on Russellville Road. And I, at the same time, years later, after about 8 years doing that, I decided to open ABC Storage. And I was told by several older people who've been in it that I was getting into it at the wrong time. I didn't think so, because there was only at that time about 8 storage units in Bowling Green. Today, there's about 28. And that took a lot of time. And I tried to hire retired men who I had worked for other people for years. And I was always told by a boss lots of different things. And I never let my people call me the boss. I always told them that we worked together, whatever it was, we worked together. And my wife and I, my wife died in 2000, and then I remarried, and her husband had died 3 years earlier than that, and at 49 with colon cancer. And my wife was killed in a car wreck. She was a teacher coming from Chandler's. Her and two other teachers were killed. But decided that I could run both places. And for about 4 years, I ran the P&J furniture and the ABC storage. And I had a builder who gave me a price on building the first three and everything. And I thought he was high. And I hired out everything myself, and I did it for $85,000 less. So when the time came that I should be home, I thought, with my wife, and we were traveling, wanted to travel, I had three men employees then, and I told them I was going to sell the business, and I paid them for the rest of the year so that I just wasn't dumping them out on the street. But when I was traveling, I got to worrying about being there on the St. Charles Avenue, the only place open on Saturday, how dangerous it may have been for them by themselves to be there. So I decided I would sell the business, and I was tired. And you and your sister were both growing up really without me as much as I'd like to be. Y'all were going to games and stuff, and I just couldn't be there. And so I found out about a company who was out of Ohio who sold businesses. And so I hired this fella at 10% of what it sold for. And he advertised in all kinds of commercial papers and things about the business for sale. I actually wound up selling it to a guy from Owensboro. Already had two other ones, so this was his third one. And that's virtually how I got out of business. And I haven't looked back a day in my life thinking I did the wrong thing. I know I did the right thing. And as I worked, even with Pollard & Broomfield, or Cousin Jack's, or I forgot to say I did sell insurance for 2.5 years. That was the worst thing I ever did in my life. But I learned from everything, and I try to keep in mind what they did right and also what they did wrong. And that's the way I've always run my business. We had people coming in, and we had all kinds of people.
At which one? At the
storage.
Storage, ABC.
And we'd sit down with them and pray with them and talk about their problems. And that was a good chance to witness. And then when I was in the furniture store, I had people, because I was on a rough road, who I'd run into who wanted some money for food. There was a man and woman especially one time who was really upset with the churches and everything else. And I was going over to the bank, and I met them, and they touched my heart. And so I called my pastor. I was just starting the business in, and I didn't have a lot of money. And so I called him and asked if the church could buy these. They were going to St. Louis. If we could buy those people a bus ticket. And he said, and I told him if he did, I'd pay him back later. And so he came by with some money, and we went down to, we went up the road and caught the people, put them in a car, took them back down to the bus station and bought their ticket to St. Louis. And it was a man and his adult daughter, and she was kind of afflicted. And that was the right thing to do. And I just like to say here that God has been good to me all my life. I've got three of the most wonderful kids a man could possibly want to have. And they've never been no problem to me. And I really appreciated that. And that's about it.
I think, would you say one of those kids is better than the others?
No.
What? Well, I wanted to ask you about P&J, because I know when we were I remember you working at Wix. I just remember kind of the location more than anything, but I do remember P&J, because once that got put on Russell Road, when Ashley and I, we went to Warren Elementary, then we went to Moss, and then we went to Central. And while we were riding the bus, I know that we were able to kind of get off there. So we spent a lot of time at P&J through grade school and middle school, not so much high school, but really grade school and middle school where we were riding the bus quite a bit. When you started P&J, what was the main idea? I know that you said that you didn't start it necessarily though as a baby store. It kind of evolved into that because you did have mattresses and sofas and all that stuff. Did you plan on it starting as a baby store? Or did you start it mainly as just a general furniture?
The day I started P&J Furniture, I left home going down to Gallatin to a company down there that builds hamburger places and trucks them up and puts them on your lot. I had thought about the mall up here at the time had a Houghton's in it and things. And I was thinking that maybe I could get that hamburger joint and put it up there on a lot. But the first thing I did with my wife, we prayed that whatever we did, that God would bless us in it. And this is strange, but it is the truth. I was going through Portland, and I passed a huge building. And from being in the discount stores, again, is one of those things I learned. And it was after the season for lawn furniture. And I thought, well, I'm going to turn around and go back. So I turned around in Portland and went back up to that factory. And I went in and I told the girl who I was. And she said, it will cost you about, we give you 35% off. And I said, no, you're going to do better than that. And so she said, well, I have to talk to my boss. And in calling her up there on the speaker, they said her name, and Mr. Webb is down here to see you. Well, I was sitting there, and a guy I worked with over at Pawnee Broomfield for about 5 years come in. He said, I got to see what Webb that is. And he was a plant manager. And he told the girl, give him 50% off. So.
And you didn't know that he worked there.
Oh, I didn't know he worked there. It was just one of those divine things, you know. Mm-hmm. And like I said, he was a head man, you know.
And you said they sold the place you went in Portland, sold lawn furniture?
Yes. They sold lawn furniture for Samsonite and other. It was a huge place. I'm talking about bays for 35, 40 trucks, you know. And so I come to Bowling Green, and I had already bought that stuff. And I bought truckloads of it. And I had no place to put it. And I went to a friend of mine who was a hired fisher who owned a waterbed store there. And he didn't have anything in the back part of it, the warehouse of it. And I asked him, could I use it for a while? He said, well, sure. And so a neighbor across the street, we rented a U-Haul, and he started hauling, I bet U-Haul, he started hauling that stuff up here. And I told Howard, I said, Howard, if you ever leave this location, I'd love to have it. He said, well, I tell you what, you've got a big trailer. Why don't you try selling some of it out there on the green spot in front of the building? I said, okay. So I sat out there 3 or 4 weeks.
You had already quit Cousin Jack's at that point?
Oh, yeah.
Or Wix, I'm sorry. You had quit Wix? Or you were doing this while you still worked at Wix?
No, I done quit.
You done quit,
quit. And so in 4 weeks, I sold enough of that stuff to get my thousands of dollars already back. And one time in the furniture store, I went to a store down in Murray, I believe it was, and this company was selling children's clothes, and they were going out of business nationally. So I went down there, and they were selling stuff a dime on the dollar. And I told the fella I would buy everything. because I knew a dime on a dollar wasn't bad. And my dad said, "What in the world are you going to do with all this stuff?" And my dad had gone down there. He rode down there with me. And I said, "Well, I'm going to sell part of it. I'm going to write off my taxes, and I'm going to give it away." And so I went to the manager, and I said, "I'll buy everything." He said, "Well, we got hundreds of people in here. We just can't do that." He said, "When I close, I'll ring it all up." I said, "You don't have to ring it up. You just tell me how much it is." "Oh, no, I've got to ring it up." "Okay." So he took 3 days and rung it up after he closed. And I had bought $85,000 worth of kids' clothes for $8,500. And so since I was already selling children's beds and stuff, and actually that's more or less where I started, was selling the baby beds and baby furniture. And then I thought, well, kids' clothes is a good match with that. And I sold some of it there. I gave a lot of it away, and I donated a lot of it for different groups that were going anywhere and everywhere. I even gave a bunch of stuff to a motorcycle group that was going to, I think it was Montana or somewhere like that, and they were going to take stuff to kids. And I said, "Here, we'll take some of this stuff." And it was already boxed up, and like if it was $5.95, I bought it for 59 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got started in business, really.
Yeah. What about, what I remember is you had just a couple items that were kind of your best sellers that you seemed to do pretty well on. If I recall, and I might be wrong, but I think you did well on, I think the margin on mattresses was good, but I think more you did well on, did you do well on rocking chairs?
I had a lot of rocking chairs, and I did pretty well on rocking chairs. Again, I bought them from the factory, and I hauled them. I went and got them and hauled them. Eventually, I had to quit because they started selling to the Cracker Barrel more and more all the time. And Cracker Barrel would buy them at semi-truck loads.
Sure.
And I couldn't afford to do that, yeah. You know. And so, and they couldn't afford for me to do it either. They couldn't afford for me to sell it. And Cracker Barrel, what Cracker Barrel is selling today for $179, mm-hmm. I sold them for $89.
Yeah. And how much were you buying them for?
About $59. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've been very fortunate. Like I said before, I just.
What about the bean bags? You did. That was something.
The bean bags, it's funny you say that. You remember, I would buy bean bags about 100 at a time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I didn't have enough room to even store them.
It seems like you were like one of the first places that had those.
Yeah. Well, a national store was selling too, and they were getting the same place I was. And we were making about $7 a piece on there. The ones that had the logos on there, like UK and things, cost me 50 cents more because they were paying a right to put that on there.
Yeah.
But your sister and you helped me one time with bean bags, and we got them off the truck and just stacked them outside. Well, I couldn't leave them outside. And so you and your sister helped me put them in my truck, and I had a closed-up truck then. And with that and what we put in the warehouse, I had a warehouse at the time, too, up the street that Hard had also had. And when he left, I got it, too. And I was very fortunate, like I said. Just, you know, and when I started the storage business, I have to say now I didn't know much about what I was doing. But I knew that I could build them cheaper than what the builder wanted for them. And I just went from one, and I went to a guy who had bid against me, and he still had three lots.
He bid against you on the land?
On the land. And I needed some more land. So
for the storage units.
For the storage units. And I told him what I'd give. I wanted him to make something, but I didn't want him to rope me, and I knew what to give for him. And he wasn't going to sell them to me. I said, okay. Called me back that day and asked me if I'd give it. I said, no, I done told you what I'd give for you. Well, you can have them. So I went out to his place. I said, this afternoon when my wife gets home from school and she can stay here and watch the business for me for a few minutes, I'll run out there and give you a check. Well, I walked in and he was, if I hadn't come, he said, I've got them sold for $9,000 more than I'm going to pay you're going to buy them for. I said, well, I'm here. There's the money right there. And I'm sure he was happy to get them sold, but he wasn't too happy that he had to sell them to me for $9,000 less, you know.
Yeah.
And then I bought another three lots on the other side, and they were asking a tremendous price for them, the company that had them. And Sanford, the basketball, girls basketball coach, he was in a group of men who bought stuff, and they owned that. And I knew what they had given for it, and so I wanted them to make a little bit of profit. A little bit. And so I told him what I'd give him for them. Oh, no, we won't sell them for that. I had just told the man, I sat in my office, and I told the man who worked with me, I said, I'll give $45,000 more dollars, but I'm not going to. And lo and behold, the phone rang, and he said, we'll sell them to you for your price. So I bought them. I built 10 buildings, and I had that land on the side of me, and I gave it to you, and you turned around and sold it. And you made pretty good off of that, too. And that's okay. You know, I am always okay with other people doing well. And I think that was always my philosophy. If I can make a good living, I don't care what other people make.
There's enough for everybody.
It is.
Yeah. You can't get it all. So with the storage business, I mean, I remember helping you with that. I remember that we would have to sometimes you'd have 10 by 15s, and you'd need an extra 5 by 10. So we'd get in there and we'd take a wall down and we'd move it and stuff like that. And I worked a lot there after school. That was at high school. That was my job, is to go there when I didn't have swimming or something else. I'd go there and work with you there on the weekends and stuff. And we used to, I remember that at the time we had a computer, but you did everything, and I would help you with it. Sometimes you did everything in Excel, and you would print it all out, and you'd have handwritten notes, and each week you'd change that. That was, I think at the time, there wasn't a lot of software available for that, but today I can't imagine that would be something people would do, like that much handwritten work. So it was a lot of work for you to do it like that, but
well,
I think it was your system.
Is, I'm probably
well.
Very illiterate in computers, and but I had my way, and that's one good thing about owning your own business. Now, you and your sister helped me a whole lot when I had auctions to sell people stuff that they had left. Well, legally, I could sell it within a month, but most everybody, in fact, I'd wait about 6 months because I had other places to
rent. And you didn't like selling their stuff.
And I didn't. I did not like selling stuff. I wouldn't like my stuff. So, and I had one guy who had a stroke who worked for me, and he was a really nice guy. But he made some terrible mistakes, and I lived with it. But one mistake he made, I couldn't live with it. I gave him responsibility of telling me which stores we was going to sell, and we had to sell and sold them. I happened to have a man to walk in about 2 weeks later, and he said his lock was gone off his unit. Now, this man had been with me for several years and had paid every month. The guy made a mistake and wrote down the wrong number, and we sold the guy's stuff. I didn't know what we were buying or anything. I didn't keep up with that. Well, what I did, I knew who bought it because I had to keep records of who bought stuff and all that. And this guy was a nice guy, and he lived up in Columbia, Kentucky. And I called him, and I told him what happened. He said, well, just tell the guy to come up here and get whatever he wants. I said, no, I can't do that. You bought it fair. I said, you tell me how much you want for it, and we'll get it back. Well, you know, I just did not feel like, you know, I really felt bad about it. So what the man had paid me for 3 years, I gave him back every penny. And then he went up there and got what he wanted. And I think he paid the other guy some, but nowhere like what I gave him back. Hoping to keep him, he left. But anyway, I felt good about it. I did everything I should do.
I'm sure that guy was upset, but how did he feel about the fact that you gave him back the money he had paid for 3 years? I'm sure he was upset still.
Well, he was upset. But like I said, he had a stroke and he was making some real bad mistakes.
You gave the guy back the 3 year. You gave the guy who you sold.
He didn't ever say anything to me, really.
You gave him the 3 years payment. He didn't really say anything. I understand. He was still upset, I'm sure. But
the guy who did it, I told him, I said, I'll call his name Bill. I said, you know, you've got your wife is sick and you've got three daughters and you don't spend much time with them. Why don't you just go home and spend the time with them? And it turned out it was a good deal. Because two of his daughters died within about 3 or 4 months. Hmm. And they died within 2 weeks of each other. And then his wife died. Of course, he's dead now. But that was the right thing to do. And I paid him from August to through December, just like I did the other guys, their salaries. Hmm. And I did the right thing again. I mean, for me, it was the right thing.
Sure. You know? Right. And sometimes you have to make, for employees, you have to make the right decision for them and for you when maybe they can't make the decision to leave, even though it's what's best for everyone.
Yeah. I had a guy one time who liked riding his motorcycles. He was retired. And I understood that. But every day I need him, he wanted off to go ride his motorcycle. I finally told him, I said, tell you what, just go ride your motorcycles and I'll get somebody else. And that's what I did.
Yeah.
I don't know how he felt about that. I hope he enjoyed riding his motorcycle.
Sure. So do you remember what year you sold the storage? Was it in?
Oh, yes. Your mother had died. And I really lost interest in it real quick. She and I had planned on that being our retirement and all that. And then after she died, I could care less. Mm-hmm. I really got to a point that I... So that was in 2007.
2007.
Yeah. And again,
so
I got what I wanted at it.
Sure. So do you know how they... From a, you know, and you don't have to go into this if you don't want to, but it was more about, I was wondering, how do they value that business? Do they value it? Because they have to value it based on the land, because you're giving them land and buildings. And so you've got a real estate aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And then did they look at your books of how many people you currently had renting and how long they had been with you? Mm-hmm. And they projected out.
They did all of that.
Yeah.
They did all that. But since it was my buildings, my business, I give the guy a price. Mm-hmm. And again, I was told I was too high. It's okay.
And you were basing that on your numbers, or basing that more on like, this is at my point in my life, this is kind of what I feel I need?
What I was basing it on, what I had in the business, and then half of that too. I would figure what it cost me to build the business and the buildings and the land, and it had made a good living for me. real good living. And so then I took half of that again, and that's what I asked him for. 2 weeks later, he bought it.
Yeah. So at the asking price or a little off?
Asking price. We were asked in $100,000 more, and I was trying to cover my deal with the broker.
Yeah. The guy who got you him, the guy. When you did that deal with the broker, you said it was 10% of the sale price?
Right.
Did he bring you more than one offer, or was it the first offer?
No, he brought me, I think that was the third offer.
Third offer, okay.
You see, not everybody wants to go out and spend that kind of money. And I tell you what I did. I bought the land for, I had all the land. I bought that extra land and everything. And I wound up building 10 buildings on there. And then I had that place I gave you was empty. And now then the guy who bought it from me has put more buildings on it.
He has. I haven't looked over there.
Yeah. And when I would go to the bank, I had a real nice lady, and she died now, but worked with me at the bank. When I would go to the bank, I carried my sheet, and I had an upward curve.
You carried your sheet of projection or what it had done?
What it had done. And then she asked me my projection, and I said, we'll do more next year because I put in more buildings.
Because you needed more because you were trying to build more?
I never had in 10 years that I was there. I guess I was there about 10 years. I never had a year that I didn't increase. And I never had a month I didn't increase. And I had a steady upward spiral. And she was just thrilled to death. But I kept in contact with her. And I'd go down and just sit down in her office and talk with her every once in a while.
Yeah.
But she was my financier. And whenever I borrowed money, I already had paid back what I borrowed from her first. Then she'd loan me for the next thing. And I would pay her back for it. I borrowed about three different times from her, maybe. And you could look at the spreadsheet on there. I went from zero just straight up.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember when we had talked about it in the past, you had told me, like, it always seemed when I was a kid, and it seems to me now, I always thought that was a significant amount of money. But you never seemed, at least you never showed me, you never were, like, worried about it. Because I think you said, well, they're not going to.
They're going to eat you.
Yeah, they're not going to hurt you. It's just like to do anything significant, you sometimes have to take a risk. And borrowing that money is a risk, but you never seem terribly worried about it.
Well, my dad worked for your brother at Webb Chevrolet. And Dad could do anything. But he was a big support of me. He would always tell me, you can do it. When I talked to him about building the storage building, he said, I could do it. And he was great support, but he would never take a chance himself.
Mm-hmm.
I tried my best to get him and I into the building business one time because I knew he didn't have no money to get in anything, and I sure didn't. But the thing of it was, we could have done it because he knew how to do it.
Right.
I didn't, but he did. But, you know, in business, I personally think you have to start small, work up the ladder, don't push, just your time comes. You can push sometimes, and that's not the best thing, you know. Like I said, when I ran the discount stores, there was a lot of pressure. But I learned things that I used in the rest of my life that I wouldn't have learned unless that pressure was there, you know.
So what would you say, we're probably wrapping up soon, what would you say is maybe the hardest lesson you learned at either P&J or ABC in business?
Well, let's put it this way. I have never dreamed, and I've had several businesses, I have never dreamed about any of my businesses, but I've had nightmares where I was working with the discount stores because I was the head up there, but I didn't have any control. And the discount business was the hardest. I had lots of pressures, a lot of hours.
Because you said that one time when you told him the time you quit is when he was complaining about you taking a vacation, right?
Yeah. And I had been to Hawaii and I met your mother over there. She and some girls were there and I met them. And she and I went for a walk. And now people would say this don't happen, but we talked about getting married the first night.
Because you were from Kentucky visiting Hawaii. Mom was from Canada visiting Hawaii. And then you guys met and hung out in.
Well, she had a job up there. And so I went up in October. And when I did, I went to my boss and I said, I'm going to Canada for a week. He said, Jerry, you just got back from Hawaii. It had been about a month. I said, yeah, I know. But I'm telling you, I am going to Canada. I'm not asking. I'm telling you, I'm going to Canada. And he agreed. He didn't want to let me go. But he had worked all his life for people who pushed him. And that's the only way he knew to do things, was push all the time.
That's how he knew how to manage people.
Yeah. And I just have a different way of managing people. You work with them, not they don't work for you. I would never let my people call me the boss. They'd introduce me to somebody. Well, this is my boss. I said, no, we work together.
And then, so I mean, that is interesting. You the jobs where you worked for yourself were your mind was at ease there, but the jobs where the nightmares you said you had were with the other things. What would you say is your, if that was your biggest, the hardest lesson or the most concerning thing, what would say would be your biggest success in business?
The storage business.
Right. Just in general, just.
Right at the end, I got worried about the safety of the men. Mm-hmm. And after your mother died, I could care less.
Yeah.
But up to then, it was very hard doing things I did, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's good. Is there anything you would change? That like not anything in business that you would change? Anything you would have if you had to do it again?
Yeah, I wouldn't sell insurance.
Yeah, you said that was before Cousin Jack's, or between? Oh,
that was the first job I had after losing, or not losing, but after leaving Potter Broomfield. My brother was in the insurance business, and he talked me into getting into it. And it was a different thing than it is today in insurance. I'm not knocking insurance from a point of it being a bad thing, because I'm sure for a lot of people it's a good thing. But I had a lot of dime insurance. And a dime insurance meant people paid a dime for policies back then. And I'd have people that, oh, I can't do it today, but see me Saturday. So that meant sometimes I'd have to go collect a dime insurance policy from somebody on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, is there anything, I think we're out of time. Is there anything else you want to say or anything?
Not bad.
Okay.
Not bad.
Well, I thank you for your time. I appreciate it, Dad.
Thank you, Chad.
I love you.
I love you.